Well, good morning. Morning. Told everybody I feel like mission control at the space agency or something. This kind of cool. Yeah. There is a mute button on the side here, so it's going to get me in trouble at some point. So I just need to learn to look in the back and they go and so, but it's all good. What I'd like for you to do is, since you just sat down, just stand up with me and recite the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord's Prayer is an elegant and inspiring piece of literature. But such elegance and inspiration is sometimes lost on the young. The following are some of the reinterpretations of the prayer by children. One little girl began her prayer like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hello, what be thy name? Another five-year-old girl prayed, give us this day our daily bread and liberty and justice for all. A kindergartner asked God to give us this day our jelly bread. Then there was this little boy who prayed, forgive us our dentist as we forgive our dentist. I pray that every time. One child climaxed his prayer like this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and FM. But one of my favorites was a young boy who prayed, our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name? And as I began to think about what to preach today, I kept coming back to this idea of God as our Father. And since this is Father's Day, I thought it's appropriate. So as often as I do, I did a little background study for the sermon today and decided to look up how many times God was called Father in the Scriptures. And I discovered that there's over 1,000 verses that use the word Father. And of those, a little over one-third referred to God as Father. What struck me was as unusual was that in the Old Testament, you could count on both hands where God was called Father. But by contrast, in the New Testament, there were between 200 and 300 verses that called him that. Now, a few of those come to mind real easily. The story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 speaks of the prodigal's father who waited for his son to return. And it was obvious that the father Jesus spoke about in that parable was the Heavenly Father. In Matthew 28:19, it speaks of baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John 14:2 says, In my Father's house there are many mansions. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And of course, there's a prayer that we just prayed this morning that Jesus gave his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, and he prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven. So the first question that comes to my mind is, how come there are so many more verses in the New Testament as opposed to the Old Testament where they call God Father? Well, I'm not quite sure about this because we're not told, but I'm certain that in the New Testament, it's obvious that you can have God as your Father if you're not a Christian. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit's presence in our lives that gives us the desire and the privilege of calling God our Father. As some scholars have noted, Abba is a very intimate and personal term, kind of like a child calling him daddy. Back in the 1980s, there were some believers who began to refer to God as daddy. Now, I didn't like that. It was just like back in the 80s, I think it was, it says, have you found it? Referring to the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Have you found it? Well, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. He's this third person of the Trinity. But I wasn't comfortable with people using the term when they would pray, they would say daddy. Now, I understand the word Abba means daddy, but you have to have a personal, close relationship with God in order to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. You don't just go to him flippantly and just call him daddy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people misuse that, and they kind of degraded God's position as Heavenly Father and just called him daddy. You know, he wanted us to understand that because he was there to protect and to guide us and to supply us our needs. He is our Father. One person said that God loves fathers because he is one. That's cool, but the truth also points to a powerful reality. It implies that God is the model of what it means to be a good dad. And Jack mentioned that there's a lot of us from different backgrounds that never knew our dad, or our dad was uninvolved in our lives, or we lost our dad at an early age or whenever. But God, being our Heavenly Father, models what an earthly father should be like, what he could be like, and what he would be like by the power and guidance of Jesus in their lives. That's our aim. That's our goal as fathers. Even though our kids are growing up now, we went to supper with our daughter last night. My son decided to go to a wrestling match instead, but which is fine. Today's Father's Day, and he just wanted to go to wrestling last night. You can eat any time with your old man. So, but what I want to do is take the Lord's Prayer one piece at a time and see what it says about fatherhood. So first is, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of theologians that, you know, try to make simple things really hard. And we talked about this. It actually means, hallowed means holy or sanctified or set apart. We discussed this when we were talking about be holy, when God told us to be holy because I'm holy. It's the same word. It means to be set apart. The people back there are set apart from all of us. I'm set apart from you. You're set apart from the people upstairs. Okay? That's what hallowed means. God is set apart from any other God. There is no other God beside our God. Regardless of what people try to tell us, God is God. Rule number one, God is God. Rule number two is, you can't change rule number one. He is unique. He is special. He is important. And the same holds true for our earthly fathers. God designed earthly fathers to be unique, special, and important. I look back on my life with my kids, and I was very unique with them. We would set up the slip and slide. Remember those slip and slides? A little piece of plastic. You would squirt water on there and go sliding down. I'd be the first one, and I'd wreck it. My kids would be crying, and it was fun. But, you know, earthly fathers are unique. They're special to our kids. But this isn't how our present-day culture views fathers. If you watch many sitcoms, which I don't do anymore, I don't think there are many sitcoms out there anymore, but all of them portray fathers as some incompetent, clueless oaf. He's an embarrassment to their children, a burden to their wives. They're useless at the workplace. Even the numerous children's shows of the past two generations go out of their way to depict dads as inept and without any redeeming value. Society looks down on fathers. And part of the reason is because society, the devil, the enemy, is trying to do away with the family unit. And if he can start with the father and look at, I mean, there's statistics that show that kids without fathers being in their house end up in more trouble and end up in prison far more often than kids that have dads in their homes. So don't underestimate the power of being a dad in your home. And a wise father understands that, but refuses to live down to those expectations. Do not listen to the world and let them tell you what a father is or what a father should be. He realizes how special his role is as a father, as a strong father in the family. According to numerous studies, the presence of a strong and loving father increases the IQ of his children. Look at your kids and see how that is. They help their daughters learn to have a proper trust and intimacy with men. Their daughters learn to appreciate their own femininity, and they learn that they are love worthy. I think one of the strongest things that a man or a father can teach his daughter is that they are love worthy and they need to be respected, and they need to add a godly life into their children, especially in their daughters. And the father who is involved with his children teaches them about competition, challenge, initiative, risk-taking, and independence. We've gotten to the point now where it's not competition anymore. Everyone wins. I'm sorry, that is not teaching kids how to win and lose, because everyone's a winner. You get a competitor trophy. No, there should be a winner and loser. There's winners and losers in life. Off my soapbox. So with identifying with fathers, God is declaring that fathers should be held in respect. They should be honored when they try, however imperfectly, to be there for their kids. There is no perfect father on earth. Our Father is the only one who is perfect. Secondly, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What that means is God is in charge. He's responsible for what takes place in his family and his church. His decisions are the foundation of our relationship with him. In the same way, earthly dads are responsible for what takes place in their household. Earthly fathers keep order in the home and set the moral compass for the family. One pastor tells this story. He says, I served it once in a church where 2/3 of the members were the nicest, most godly people I could find. The other third, however, were often divisive and intent on getting their own way, whatever the cost. I call them the pagan group because they created most of the turmoil in the church. A congregational vote had been scheduled on an issue that caused many of the pagans to be upset, and they made their displeasure made known to others. One of the leading members of that group was particularly upset that he couldn't be there for the vote and was loudly protesting that they wouldn't reschedule the meeting so he could be there. So in an upcoming sermon, he said he preached on the issue. He made mention of the fact that there were many people who had concerns about the vote, and the one person was even upset that they couldn't be there to cast their vote. Then he mentioned, I wasn't going to be there either because I was going to be on vacation, but that didn't bother me because I trusted God to make the vote turn out the way he wanted it. He continued, the situation reminded me of what often happens in families where siblings get in arguments over who gets their way. We have 2 great-grandsons now, and the first one is always trying to bully the second one. The second one is a lot bigger and stronger than the first one, and he always gets his way. And the fighting becomes even more harsh when kids are in a room all by themselves. However, the fighting almost always stops when a certain someone walks into that room. Who's that someone? Dad. Once Dad comes into the room, the arguing stops, or Dad makes sure that it stops. In the same way, you can tell when our Heavenly Father isn't in the room, there's a lot of arguing and lots of concerns that we don't get our own way. Listen to what's going on into a church today. If there's a lot of arguing, Dad is not in the room. God is not present. One thing that I can say for this church that I just respect and I just thank God for is when people come into our church, they say they feel the presence of God here. Without the presence of God, we're just an ordinary bunch of people having Sunday brunch or whatever. It's not glorifying and magnifying the name of the Lord. And he said that after he preached that sermon, the arguing toned down a little. Everyone understood the truth of what he said because that's the effect earthly fathers have in their households. It's a universal truth. Earthly fathers have influence on the family. They control the arguing and the fighting. They keep order and keep the family under control. Literally, their will is done. Number 3 is give us this day our daily bread. Earthly fathers are responsible for keeping food on the table and a roof over their heads. And I know that they're not only, dads aren't the only wage earners anymore, but they're still the ones that are responsible for the welfare of their family. That's the hierarchy that God has set up. It is man, it is God, it is man in this family. And then church. God expressed this truth when he confronted Adam about his sin in Genesis 3. Adam says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles, it shall thistle." We've seen thistle before, haven't we? "It shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field." Dads understand that their primary role is to provide for their family. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained that even pagans understand this truth. In Matthew 7, verse 9, he says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, though, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Number 4 is, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now this is where it starts getting tough for dads. There are times when kids can be really frustrating, you think? And the temptation for fathers is to start saying and believing, "This is who my kid is. They're lazy, they're selfish, they're messy, they're argumentative, they give up too easily, they're deceptive," and on it goes. And that's exactly how children are. We are like that. They do that. That's what their nature is to be that kind of person. They're kids, they're learning. And it's been that way for centuries. Mark Twain once said, "When a child turns 12, he should be kept in a barrel and fed through a hole until he reaches 16, at which time you should plug up the hole." You know, kids can be annoying. And when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, guess what? We can be annoying too. Don't you think? Our Heavenly Father forgives us over and over and over and over and over again. And you got to believe that's really got to be annoying to God. When we read stories of the Israelites and they turned away from God and things got bad and then they cried out to God, "Oh God, please help us," and he helped them and they went their way and then they turned away from him and then they said, "Oh God, please help us." Does that sound a lot like us? Sounds exactly like us. We've got to be annoying to God at times. But he believes in us. He looks beyond our sinfulness to what we can be. Aren't you glad? You know, he may punish us for our sins, but he would repeatedly forgives us and works with us to help us to get beyond our failures. Grady Nutt, what a great name, he used to tell the story of a family that invited a new preacher and his wife over for dinner. The woman was uptight, hoping that everything would go smoothly with the meal that she had planned. They had coached their kids on being at their best behavior. But just after the prayer for the food, their 7-year-old daughter accidentally spilled her milk or tea all over the beautiful tablecloth. The girl was terrified. And the mother tried to hide her frustration. But before the mother could do anything, the father seized the situation and spilled his tea and started laughing. Slowly, the preacher and his wife, and finally the mother followed suit, did the same thing amidst all the laughter. The girl looked up at the father, knowing that he had saved her from an embarrassing moment. He winked at her, and she smiled and winked back to him, and a tear slid down her face. God is like that with us. He forgives us and works with us to help us get beyond our failures. And that's the way earthly fathers should treat their children. They should believe in their children and what they can do with their lives for God. 5th one, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now this has always puzzled me, why Jesus would ask us to ask our Heavenly Father, "Deliver us, lead us not into temptation." Do you know what that means? Me neither. I don't know. So we're just going to go on. But I want us to view it from this perspective, that Jesus is comparing our Heavenly Father to our earthly fathers. Earthly fathers don't always do the right things. They can curse. They act immature. You think? They can be unfair. They can blow up and lose their temper. They can misunderstand, misuse, or hurt their kids. And by their actions, they teach their children, and their actions lead their kids into temptation to act like they do. Maybe that's what it means. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament about the great, 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 great grandson of Cain, a man named Lamech. Lamech? Cain, of course, killed his brother Abel, and God cursed him. But God promised Cain, if anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. A few hundred years later, Lamech bragged about Cain's punishment by saying, if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. He was bragging about how bad he was going to be. Cain's sin and punishment became a point of honor for Lamech's own wickedness. Cain had taught him how to believe in his own evil. One person noted, children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them. Ooh. So why do earthly dads do stupid stuff? Why do they curse and behave badly with their families? Well, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Dads do, moms do, kids do. So as dads, we need to consciously decide to deliver our kids from evil. But how do we do that? Well, that brings us to the last point. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Whose kingdom is it? God's. Whose power is it? God's. Whose glory? God's. A godly father realizes none of what he has belongs to him is his. His family, his wife, his children all belong to God. It's not his kingdom, it is God's. He doesn't have the power in the home, God does. And any glory and honor that is due him as a father, it all is because God gave it to him. God has blessed us, for those of us that are fathers, he has blessed us to be a father. I thank God yesterday that God just gave me a family that loves me. And man, that's amazing. To have kids that love their dad. So when a dad fails or curses or loses his temperature, see, every time I read that, I said, he loses his temperature. Well, it's kind of true. You get hot. You lose your temper. You lose your temperature. It rises. You behave badly. He should realize how important his role is in teaching his son and daughter what it is to follow God. And how does he do that? Number one, by admitting he was wrong. We need to tell our kids that we are not perfect. I mean, my daughter looked up to me for a long time until she found out I was not perfect, and she still loves me. But we need to let our kids know that I was wrong. Number two, we need to confess our failures. Number three, we need to ask for forgiveness. This is to our kids. And by determining to do better next time. And we live in a world where men have trouble doing that because men are trying to be emasculated. They are trying to take away the authority and the governing of a father in a home. We need to take that back. We need to stand up for who we are, for what God has given us. The world wants to make men appear incompetent and unworthy, and fathers often try to compensate by trying to appear to be always right and unbending in control. But God says that godly fathers need to realize their failings and shortcomings and teach their children humility by willingness to confess their sins. We need to just let our kids know, I make mistakes, I'm sorry, I will try again next time. Is incompetent as I am sometimes, I love you and I want the very best for you. I'm going to close with this poem. Last night, my little boy confessed to me some childish wrong, and kneeling at my knee, he prayed with tears, "Dear God, make me a man like Daddy. Wise and strong, I know you can." Then while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins, and prayed with low bowed head, "Oh God, make me a child like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting thee with faith sincere." Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for being our God, our Father, that you are teaching us that despite all the mistakes that we had in the past, that you still brought us through it, that our kids hopefully aren't any worse for the wear of us teaching them and showing them by example who we are and what they can be. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your blessings not only on the fathers today, but on families, that you would make them strong in you, that your word, that your Holy Spirit would govern their lives, that would govern everything that about what a family unit should be. We pray for those families, Lord, that are broken, and we ask that you would put them back together. We ask that you would just do what only you can do in our lives. And we thank you for the opportunity to be a father, to have a family, and to be loved not only by our family, but to be loved by you. And we give you all the praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we sing our last song, the kids have something to do. What are they going to do? You don't know. Oh, the kids are going to pass out something. They're going to pass out. There they are. There are those kids. All right.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. With my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless you all.
Everybody, remember your message as you travel home today. Have safe travels. God bless you all. Share that blessing. Drive safe and have a great week.